Good morning and welcome to Celebration Church. It's our very first live stream. So if you're able, stand with us and we're going to begin our praise and worship.
Once like a bird in prison I dwelt, no freedom from my sorrow I felt, but Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, he set me free. He set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm worried down by Jesus to see, for glory to God, he set me free. Now I am climbing higher each day, darkness of mine has drifted away, my feet are planted on higher ground, glory to God, I'm homeward bound. He set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm going down by Jesus to see, for glory to God, he set me free. Goodbye to sin, things that confound, not all the world can turn me around. Daily I'm working, I'm praying too, glory to God, I'm going through. He set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm going down my Jesus to see, for glory to God, set me free. He set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm going down my Jesus to see, for glory to God, he set me free.
You may be seated.
Good morning, everyone. I hope you're having a good Sunday morning, and welcome to our new normal. It's a little odd being here by ourselves, but we hope that there's a great crowd out there, and we're glad that you joined us this morning with Celebration Church. Don't have a lot of announcements, but I want to move into our corporate prayer time. And our corporate prayer time this morning, we get, some of us get from Charles Boswell. Many of you know Charles, who's preached with us multiple times during this period of time where we're waiting on a new pastor. He sends out on Sunday mornings a series of verses that's a prayer. This morning I read it and thought we should start with that. So here goes. How great are your signs, O God, and how mighty are your wonders. Your kingdom is an eternal kingdom. Your dominion endures from generation to generation. Your name is the Lord. We know that you alone are the most high over all the earth. Our souls wait in hope for you, Lord. You are our holy. I was getting a phone call. Our hearts rejoice in you alone because we trust in your holy name. Almighty God, creator and sustainer, you made the world and everything in it. You are Lord of heaven and earth. You do not dwell in temples built by hands. You are not served by human hands as though you needed anything, since you yourself give life and breath and everything else to all people. You are the head, O Christ. Under your control, the whole body is being joined and held together by every supporting ligament. Even as each individual part works effectively, so that the body grows and edifies itself in love. You are the good shepherd, Lord Jesus, who laid down your life for the sheep. You are the good shepherd. You know your sheep, and your sheep know you, just as the Father knows you, and you know the Father. For greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. May you, O God of peace, who through the blood of the external covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, our great shepherd of the sheep. Equip us with everything you do your will, and may your work in us what is pleasing in your sight through Jesus Christ, to whom the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's open up with just a quick word of prayer, and then I'm going to guide you through a number of things that you would just pray at home for. We sure would appreciate it. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask this morning that as this service is broadcast, that Father, you would use this service for your glory. Father, we know that we can't be together today in this church physically, but we can be together virtually through this broadcast. Father, we would just ask that as we have this time of worship, it would be pleasing to you. Father, we thank you that you are glorified in all things. And we do pray, Father, that you would be glorified through this coronavirus. Father, we do pray that you would have mercy on those who might get the coronavirus. And Father, you would heal them completely. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you in your Son's name. Amen. There are several in our church who are currently struggling. I just want you to lift up Chuck Barton, the Trenton family, who Trenton was a young man who actually passed away from a car accident. There were two others with him, little girls, that are in critical condition. If you would pray for Chuck, the family of Trenton, and also for David Johnson, who's in the hospital. Father, we do want to give praise to God, to his love, his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness and salvation that we have through Jesus Christ. If you would just pray those things now. Ask God to give us a spirit of worship this morning. And ask God to open our minds to hear and receive his words spoken this morning through Steve Hoekstra. Father, we do want to pray for our leaders of our country and throughout the world as they have to make decisions on how to deal with this particular virus. Father, we do pray for healing of those who may get it. We pray, Father, that this would not be as devastating as it's projected to be. But Father, through all of this, we just want to look to you. Mm-hmm. We want to glorify you. Father, we pray these things. In your Son's name, amen.
If you'd like to stand again, we'll continue our praise and worship. We're going through kind of a stormy time, so let's raise a hallelujah.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemy. A hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah, 'cause heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar. I'll raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. I'll raise a hallelujah. I will watch the darkness flee. I'll raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. I'll raise a hallelujah. Lost your hold on me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes. Hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive. Sing a little louder. Let's sing a little louder. Sing a little louder in the presence of my enemies. Sing a little louder, louder than the unbelief. Sing a little louder. My weapon is a melody. Sing a little louder. Heaven comes to fight for me. Sing a little louder. Presence of my enemies. Sing a little louder, louder than the unbelief. Sing a little louder. My weapon is a melody. Sing a little louder. Heaven comes to fight for me. Sing a little louder. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes. Hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive.
Even though you're sitting at home, you are still in church. The church is not this building. We are the church. So I pray right now, wherever you're at, that you come to the altar. And the altar is your couch, your chair, the front of your living room, your desk that you're sitting on. But I pray that you come to the altar this morning.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior, bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Oh, what a Savior, isn't he wonderful? Wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found. Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling.
Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Did you know the Bible says, "Fear not," 365 times? I don't think that's a coincidence. Every single day, the Lord tells us, "Do not fear." I don't know if some of you have noticed, but it's kind of fearful times that we're living in right now. But the Lord says, "Do not fear." He doesn't say, "Fear a little bit." He doesn't say, "Fear the coronavirus, fear running out of food, fear that you don't have any toilet paper." He says, "Fear not. He will provide." So I pray that right now you gather your loved ones around you and you just cling to the Lord who will see us through. Again, worship with us.
Choose to be
God, we come to you this morning. We feel like we're going through a fire right now, God. And I just pray that you just polish us all up and help us shine brighter for you during these times. God, I pray for those that are hurting and for those that are afraid. I just pray that right now, wherever they are, you just comfort them with your presence, God. Let them know that they are not alone, that you have not left us and will never leave us or forsake us, God. Open our eyes and our hearts for what Steve is going to bring us this morning. Bring us back together soon, Lord. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Morning. Good morning. We are glad to have all of you with us virtually this morning. I would encourage you as we come to share together today and maybe in the next few weeks, we don't know how long this is going to last, but to kind of keep up with what's going on. And this morning I'm going to be sharing the third in a series about being the church and what that really means, where it came from, what that means as the body of Christ. And so this morning, this is our third in that series, and I would really encourage you to go back. I know that celebrationmontrose.org has the previous two sermons by audio, and if you would like to go back and pick those up, so, and kind of catch up to this one, that'd be great. Don't do it right now, please. This morning, I'd like to review just a few minutes, but there's some really exciting stuff that I'd like to get into this morning. If you'll turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You'll remember that this is kind of a dividing point for Paul as he writes to the church at Corinth. And that is that we have Paul having taken the first 11 chapters and really dealt with some nasty stuff within the church, even closing out that section of the more physical realm or the worldly realm of what's going on. And you'll remember that in chapter 11, Paul is talking here and really concerned about the Lord's Supper and how people arrogantly were coming and getting drunk early and eating all of the food early, and then there wouldn't be anything left for other people. And Paul was so mad at them that in his writing, he even said, man, if you guys can't do any better than this, let's close the doors and everybody go home. He was really upset about this. And he begins to carry kind of that same thought pattern into the thought of chapter 12. But it's the same attitude, but he is switching here and transitioning from the worldly to more of the spiritual. In fact, we will see in a few minutes where he says, now, concerning spiritual things, or in your Bible, it might even say spiritual gifts right there. But for many of you, you will see where that's italicized or bracketed. And what that means is that was not in the translation. It was not in the original language. It is something for clarification. And it is correct as far as it goes. But let's begin with the thought of that we talked about last week, and that is the body of Christ is a reality. The body of Christ is a reality. It's not just a synonym or something to help us kind of see it out there. It's not a word that is going to invoke an image for us, although it does that, but that's not all that it was made to do. We are the physical representation of the body of Christ here in this community, here in this earth, right now. For our neighbors, for our shopkeepers, for everybody around us, we are the physical body of Jesus right here. We are a reality. And that's a New Testament principle. It's a biblical principle. Whether you believe it or not, it exists. And I think that that's something that we need to take more ownership of as the church, and that is that we are a reality. Second thing that we talked about last week is the realization. The realization of the body of Christ. Different than just accepting the reality of it, but how does it really work? What really goes on? What's the nature of the body of Christ? And one of the things we talked about last week was that we do not put together the body of Christ. And we looked all the way through the 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. And you'll remember, and these are for those of you that maybe didn't join us last week, but in verse 7 of chapter 12, it says, "To each one is given." And then in verse 8, it says, "But to each one is given." And to verse 11, it says, "But to each one individually, just as he," that is God, Jesus, "wills." And then verse 18 says, "God arranged the members in the body." In verse 24, it says, "But God has so composed the body." Verse 28, it says, "And God has appointed in the church." Now, for me, it's pretty evident that God wants us to understand that He is the one in charge of putting together the church. We're not the ones that do that. God is the one that puts together the church. He is God. He appoints, He gives, He composes. It is always He and never we. So this morning, I want to take and go a step farther than that. And I want us to talk about my responsibility. The body of Christ, a personal responsibility. My part of the body never changes. I want you to hear that and hear it clearly. Whenever there is teaching about the body of Christ in the Bible, it is using the physical representation here. And so allow me to do that, and allow me just to say that my foot has never become a kidney. My hand has never become my big toe. And it's important to grasp that, because there are many that think that, well, I'll change this, or I'll change this, or I'll do this this minute, and I'll do this this other minute. And the reality is that the gifting that God gives to us, the placement in the body, now not the usage, but the placement in the body, is once for all. It never changes. I don't become a foot if I'm a hand. And I don't become an unseemly member, as Paul says, because I want to become or get out of being a seemly member. And I can't say that, man, I've got such beautiful blue eyes. And so somebody will look at me and go, man, I wish I had Steve's beautiful blue eyes. And I will tell you right now, they're just contacts, and they enhance the blueness. And so that's all fake. It doesn't really matter anyway. But somebody will say that. But I'm telling you that you might have a great voice. You might have one of those great, deep Adrian Rogers voices that I wish I had. And I don't. All I've got is this squeaky thing going on, but I got great eyeballs. And so it's important for each one of us to realize that we are the people that God has made us to be, and we are important, and there is no one in the congregation, either sitting here this morning or out there in Facebook land or however that you're watching this, that is not an important part. We talked about this last week, that there is nobody that is just a church member. There is nobody that is just a volunteer. You are somebody because that's who God has made you. And the more that we can grasp that, the more we elevate each other's position and value in the church and to each other. We each have responsibility. Let me just begin by reading now 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to read the first 7 verses if you'll join me. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 7. Now concerning spiritualities, and that's really what that says right there, is spiritual things or spiritualities. The word gifts is in there because it goes on to talk about spiritual gifts. But what Paul is doing is using this as a transition point, and he's talking about spiritual things. Now let's leave the worldly that we just talked about for 11 chapters, and you'll understand that Paul did not write this in chapters, but he's saying, let's leave that thought. I want to talk to you about spiritual things. I do not want you to be unaware of spiritual things. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the dumb idols, however that you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. And there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. And here's a real key element. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. That is the outpouring of the Spirit, the showing of the Spirit for the common good. My gifts are for God's employment, not my enjoyment. My gifts are for God to use. My gifts are for you. They are never oriented toward me. The more that I understand that, the easier that it's going to be for me to engage as a portion of the body of Christ. I will want to be that best piece for you. And you will want to be that best body part for all of the rest of us. And we will come to respect each other and to encourage each other and to uplift each other. I'm telling you, I could not have put together today's Facebook live stream without the other people that are involved in this. I don't have what it takes. I don't know how to do that. I might have been able to read a book. I might have been able to read something. But man, these guys have put it all together. They were here hours early this morning. They were here yesterday. They were practicing this thing. They were making it work. So all that we had to do as the praise team and as myself is to get up here and share God with you guys. There are so many people that are involved in this. And we are so blessed. There are varieties of gifts. There are varieties of ministries. There are varieties of effects. All for the common good. Now, when it talks about spiritual gifts, you will find multitudes of books explaining the spiritual gifts. Some of them come at it from one side and some at it from another side. Some will tell you that some of them aren't in effect anymore, and some of them will tell you there's 100 of them, some of them only 17, that sort of thing. But I just want to point out today that these spiritual gifts are not abilities. I heard somebody once tell me that, well, I have the spiritual gift of playing the piano. No. A spiritual gift is something that you could not do outside of being born again. You receive a spiritual gift when Jesus comes into your life in the person of the Holy Spirit. Some receive one, sometimes two, and very rarely people have three gifts. Nobody but Jesus had all the gifts. We do not switch gifts. And we're going to talk about Paul's admonition here in just a few minutes, going along with that very thought. Because there are people out of ego that want to have this gift or they want to have that gift. And I'm telling you that God gives the gifts. How many times do we just see that? And God appointed in the church. And He appointed in the church. And God gives. And those are the things that you and I need to recognize, that this church is not run by us. It is run by the head, and that is God Himself in Christ Jesus through the person of the Holy Spirit indwelling us. The thing that's exciting to me is that when God gives us a gift at our new birth experience, that gift is used for the common good. But it is also used as God would lead me, even in the secular world. I know that as a Rotarian, God allowed me to use His speaking voice, His speaking gift, His study, His administration, which are pretty much the gifts that I have, His pastoring thought in my life, that gift that He's given to me. He allowed me to use that even in the Rotary Club as I was a part of that. He has allowed me to use that in many secular instances when I go in and I love to organize stuff. My wife is always saying to me, don't you get involved in organizing this. It is just an important situation for us to understand that the gifts that God gives to us is for the common good. It is to be used in the body, yes, but it can be used outside of the body to impress people into the body of Christ, to make sure that we're giving a witness, to help people to see. And many of my older friends that I went to high school and college with still have a hard time believing that Steve Hoekstra is getting up and preaching every Sunday or leading Bible studies, because that was not my thought pattern back then. This is something that God gave to me at my spiritual birth, my spiritual renewal. Ministries, on the other hand, as we go down through here, and it says there are varieties of ministries. Ministries are those things that change. My spiritual gift is never going to change, but how God chooses to use that and where He chooses to use that may change many times over my life. God may choose to use my ministry, and has chosen to use my ministry, not only in the church, in pastoring, but He is now using my gift to minister to ministers, to help churches, to grow people. Sometimes he uses it up on a mountainside. For 25 years, I would preach almost every Sunday on top of one of our ski areas. And I loved doing that. God opened the doors to do things like that. He is very creative in how he's going to use our gifting. And that's the ministry part of it. How God uses. And that can change 100 times in 100 different places. God may use me as a woodworker in Montana or a ski instructor in Utah or an accountant in Colorado. However that he chooses to do that, that's his choice. It's never mine. And that's why we're always praying and seeking out God and saying, God, I belong to you. Where do you want me? How do you want me? Celebration is looking for a pastor right now. They are seeking a man that is seeking a calling from God to come to this place at this time. Not a general call to ministry, but a specific call to Celebration Church. But the reality is, and we forget this, is that God has called each and every person, those of you that are watching, those of you that are here, God has called you to this specific church. It's not up to you to do a lot of church shopping. It is up to the Holy Spirit of God as He places you in a situation, in a local body, to become a part of that local body. And wouldn't it be great as a pastor to have a new church member, a family, come in and go, you know, we know our spiritual gifts. We know that God has called us right here to Celebration Church. And through our gifts and ministries, we surrender ourselves to whatever God wants to use us in Celebration Church. I think that'd be cool. But so many of us are just shopping around going, well, you know, that pastor, or well, those people, or well, they didn't have anything for my youth, or well, they didn't have anything for my kids. Well, maybe God sent you there to begin that. I don't know. Only God does. Your gifts are not for you. Your gifts are for the body. The last part that he talks about right there, and he talks about it as an effect or workings, depending on what translation you have, talks about that, and you'll find some translations have gone so far as to translate that as personality. He's got a gift, a ministry, and he develops in us the way in which he wants to use that. Otherwise, all preachers would be basically the same. And aren't you glad that they're not? Because you might have to put up with me or somebody like me for the rest of your ministry. And God doesn't want that. God desires for each one of us to use the experiences and the personalities that He has developed within us to reach the people groups that He has allowed us to minister to. And that's as true for me as it is for you. So God has given us gifts, ministries, and personalities with which to use those. Now, I want to share with you a little bit farther on, because the body of Christ, as Paul is writing here, Paul also writes a reprimand. He writes a reprimand. The church in Corinth was carrying through the same attitude that they had in the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, right on in to the spiritual things. And Paul says, no. That's not where we want to be. And so he allows us to understand the body of Christ and the way that God has put it together. And we've talked a lot about that. And then we get down to the last verse in that chapter. And all of a sudden, the whole thing blows apart. Because in the last chapter, it says, "But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I will show you a more excellent way." Well, hasn't he just told us that that's not our position? Hasn't he just told us we don't have anything to do with that? So either Paul is changing his mind at the last minute, which is not true, by the way, or this is not as completely translated for us to understand. And what he's saying here is, but you all, and that's at the, in the Greek, that word earnestly has an ending to it that says, but you all, or in modern day colloquialism, but y'all. And in fact is, in some cases, it is all y'all. And that's kind of the thought pattern behind that. And what he's saying is, but you guys are earnestly desiring all these greater gifts. Stop it! It's not for you to do. It is God that appoints. It is God that gives. It is God that places. We just talked about that. And that is so key for us to understand. Otherwise, we get confused about all that we want to do. And what happens is that, and what was happening then, is that there were people going, oh, I want that gift of preaching. I want that gift of healing. So everybody's coming to me going, oh, yeah. So I look really important, and I look like somebody in the eyes of the world. And Paul's saying, maybe God made you a liver. And if God made you a liver, he calls it an unseemly member. But if God made you an unseemly member, be a great unseemly member. And do not earnestly desire to be a seemly member. And then he goes on into what we call the love chapter. And if people really understood this, they wouldn't call it that, because Paul is still reprimanding. And he's saying, listen, if I even spoke with the tongues of men and of angels, because that was one of the great gifts that everybody wanted, and boy, I've got the gift of tongues, and everybody needs to have the gift of tongues like God has given to me. And Paul is saying, man, if I even spoke with all the tongues of men and of angels, but I didn't have Christ residing in my life, if I wasn't a part of the body of Christ, I become like a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. This is a reprimand. And he goes on to give us many more illustrations right there. You can read love in there. I was with a couple not too long ago doing some discipleship work, and I had them read chapter 13, at least the first, I think it's 13 verses or something like that. And wherever it said love, I had them put in the name Jesus. And the man told me, he said, that was the most meaningful thing that I've ever seen. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I don't have Jesus, I am like a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. This teaching on the body of Christ, and we're going to continue on next week, this teaching about the body of Christ is so incredibly important. It is so important for churches to do a gifts inventory, to really help people think through what is their ministry. And by the way, just because somebody's a great school teacher does not make them a great Sunday school teacher. Just because somebody is a great orator does not make them a great preacher. It is God that places in the body. And it is God that changes our ministries. It is God that develops who we are in Christ Jesus, the effects of what He's doing in our lives. And it is God that gives the gifts. We are not free to earnestly desire those greater gifts. Please don't fall into that trap. As I was studying these last couple weeks, I had a member of this church, Larry Walker, came into my office, and I said, "Larry, I am so excited to share this with the church at Celebration. It is such a key element to understand and to follow through and to begin to orient ourselves. Even if you're just going to do it in a leadership arena, begin someplace, but don't neglect this. And don't just assume, well, we assume that this guy, because he's been around for a long time, ought to be a deacon, or he ought to be an elder, or he ought to be this, or he ought to be that within the body. No, no, no. Don't just assume that. Seek out what God has oriented for that person. And there are lots of ways to do that. And I'm going to ask you to do this for this next week. Would you read through 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, and Ephesians in chapter 4? And would you look at what God has to say to us about the body of Christ? Would you read through the giftings that God has allowed to be placed in there? Would you seek out? And if you're having a hard time finding out, you know, what gift that I might have and that kind of thing, man, I've got some great resources. If you're trying to figure out the ministry that God has given you to use your gift within, I've got some resources. If you're thinking, man, how has God developed my personality? Because I'm not like everybody else. I don't fit. I've got some resources. Let me help you. Get in touch with the elders at Celebration. Get in touch with me. And let's begin to build the reality of the body of Christ right here in Montrose, beginning at Celebration Church, and then expanding to all of Montrose, to all of Colorado, and to all of the world, as we're given direction to do. So many people are frustrated with going to church because they're going to ask me to do something. All we're asking is that you allow God to work in your life in the way that He wants to work in your life. To release the power, the presence, and the person of the Holy Spirit in your life for the good of all. We'll be back next week. Probably the same format. This is a little bit weird for all of us. I am preaching at a hole on the back of an iPad. But it's working. I was thinking this morning and praying this morning for all of our pastors. This is so awkward and so unlike the joining of the body of Christ. And 10 years ago, this would not have been possible. I am so thankful for technology that stumps me half the time, that we can present, that you can love each other through this medium, that we can get together, that we can share. And folks, I'm asking you to be the church this week. Let's bow as we pray together. Father, we are thankful for today. Thankful for the technology that you have allowed to be developed that we can do this. Father, more than anything, we are thankful for your word. And we are thankful for the interpretation of that word through the power of the Holy Spirit in us. God, I prayed this already this morning, but I'm going to pray it out loud now. God, just release your Holy Spirit to do wonderful and crazy things in this time of trouble, in this time of trial. Father, that there would be joy. There would be rejoicing. There would be words of encouragement. There would be cooperation. There would be love. There would be kindness. There would be generosity. All of the attributes of who you are, Jesus, which means who you are in us. Release, please release those things in your church. And Father, we're thankful and give you all the praise and the glory and the adoration in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. And God bless.